It's Mark Yeagy here, wealth architect and lifestyle investor. Let's take your life to the next level. Welcome to the Wealth Architect Podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Wealth Architect Podcast. We have a fun and exciting, episode in store for you. But I'm thinking, aren't they all fun and exciting? Well, today I have to be really excited. This guy gives me a ton of energy just because he's Mr. Smiley. He's Mr. Happy, but he's also Mr. Positivity, right? He's like a pathological positivity kind of guy. And that's right up my alley. So I really think I need to hang out with this guy more. I haven't even told him that yet, but I guess he's going to find out soon. Our guest today is an author. He's written actually 3 books. You're going to hear about one of them. He's got a YouTube channel with over 366,158 subscribers. And he's known as the positivity psychologist. So please welcome Dr. Paul Jenkins to the show. Dr. Paul, welcome. How are you?
Oh, Mark. I am so excited to be with you today. Well, one of the reasons I even agreed to be here is because you and I are on a similar mission here. Yeah. And when you said pathological positivity, that's actually the title of one of my books. And I've been accused before of being pathologically positive.
Yeah,
me too. You get this too, Mark.
I do.
And so I adopted that as the title of my book. Which is interesting because in psychology, the word pathological means disordered, disconnected from reality, crazy.
Wow.
And it sounds a little crazy to consider that you can choose positivity regardless of your circumstances, but it also means compulsively driven. Okay. Like you've heard the phrase pathological liar. I mean, they just can't stop.
Right.
And people who are what I term pathologically positive have a dogged determination to choose on purpose a position that serves them well. And we'll talk a little bit more about what that means.
Yeah, let's unpack that a little bit. First, what I'd like to do is kind of go back through your background a little bit about who we're listening to, what gives you the right to tell us to be positive all the damn time, that kind of thing. And you and I have something in common. We're both PhDs. You happen to go to school for it. I have a PhD in results. That's my little shtick, you know, on PhDs. But I respect the fact that you've put in the time and you certainly earned the right to be called Dr., which is what I call you, Dr. Paul.
Yes.
Tell us why we should be listening to you, why it's so important to Wealth Architect podcast listeners.
Well, my training is in clinical psychology.
That sounds boring.
I told my kids I went through the 21st grade, and that put it in perspective for a little bit. Wow. So I got my PhD in clinical psychology, and I launched a traditional psychotherapy practice. I was working mostly with kids, adolescents, families. And then about 15 years in, I had an experience that changed the direction of everything that I was doing. And the short version, Mark, bankruptcy.
Oh, no.
Okay. And at this point in my career, I had a 5-month waiting list. You couldn't even get an appointment with me in 5 months. And I was gone to dusk. Okay. I can't work anymore. And I had negative cash flow for 2 quarters in a row. Now, I don't know what kind of wealth advising you do, Mark. That's not sustainable.
But it is common.
Yes, for a lot of reasons that are important to understand, many of which I didn't realize at the time, but I've since learned, are located right between your ears.
Yep.
The thinking is the problem. I was telling somebody on a podcast earlier this week, you don't have to change a thing. You have to change a think.
Nice.
And when you understand that, so for me, here I am, Mark, professional psychologist. I'm booked out solid. Everybody wants to see me, right? And I had this negative cash flow thing.
Yeah.
I was meeting with one of my colleagues and mentors, Dr. Jeff McGee.
I know Jeff.
You know Jeff.
Yeah.
You know, he's like Mr. Power Consultant.
Love him, yeah.
Technology space. I'm having dinner with Jeff at Lake Tahoe, and I'm explaining to him what's going on with my practice. I am just about to file bankruptcy. And he's listening with empathy and compassion. And I finish telling him about my business. He leans across the table a little bit and he says, "Paul, you suck."
Yeah.
I'm like, "Thanks, Jeff. I love you too." But he said, "No, I mean that in the most kind and loving way. It means you're consuming more than you produce, as evidenced by your financials."
That doesn't sound familiar at all. Like, the government does that all the time. Every government in the world is doing that, right? And what's going on in the world right now? Chaos and inflation and, you know, recession is coming. So it's not a good formula. He was right.
There's a mindset around this.
Yep.
It's either abundance or scarcity. It's either you're a producer or a consumer.
Yep.
And we all consume. We have to. We're human.
We're programmed to consume.
If you consume more than you produce, you suck.
Yeah.
By definition, meaning you suck resources. You're consuming more than you produce. And yeah, that's what Jeff was trying to get across to me.
Beautiful. Yeah.
At about the same time, Mark, I interviewed a lady named Mary Louise Zeller. Mary Louise is 80 and a sixth degree black belt in Taekwondo.
Wow.
This grandma can kick you the next Friday. Okay. Cool. And she didn't even start till she was 45. The common mindset is you have to, you know, develop mastery in your youth. Well, apparently that's not true.
Yeah.
She took fourth in the Sydney Olympics in her 50s.
Really?
Yeah. Is this crazy?
Yeah, that's amazing.
She competes in the 18 and over division. Anyway, I'm meeting with Mary Louise. She's such an inspiring person. And she looks at me. This is about, I don't know, it's within a couple of months of when I had the conversation with Dr. Jeff McGee. And Mary Louise Zeller looks at me and she says, "Paul, the troops aren't coming." And then she let that sink in a little. And then she said, "We are the troops."
Yeah.
Love that. But honestly, Mark, up until that point, I was in what I call now a victim mindset. Okay. And I'm not talking about a victim of crime or a victim of abuse. I'm talking about a victim way of seeing things, a paradigm in which I was blaming. See, in a victim mode, we want to blame the economy or the business partner or the fund or whatever, the government. Okay. Blame, blame, blame.
Yep.
And when Mary Louise said that to me, "The troops aren't coming. We are the troops." I suddenly saw myself curled up in fetal position in the corner waiting for what? Who?
Somebody, something.
Yeah. You know what? One of the things that led into my bankruptcy was an investment. It's several investments that I'm putting that in air quotes because it was really a gamble.
Yeah.
I didn't know the value proposition. I've learned a lot from my experience, but these guys who owed me money, and I kept thinking, "Oh, if they'd just pay me off, then I would be okay." That is a victim mindset because I'm waiting for them to fix my problem.
You have no control in that case. You cede control, I guess.
Or some of them are still in prison.
Wow. Wow.
How long am I willing to wait for them?
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
So she says to me, "The troops aren't coming. We are the troops." And I'm like, "Oh, it's me. It's me and my mindset. I don't need to change a thing. I need to change a think."
I like that. You know, one of my first podcasts, because everybody knows here that I launched my podcast this year. And one of the first few podcasts that I put out, one of them is called "Take 100% Responsibility for Your Life." And we are the people that need to take responsibility because we're the ones that have to live with the results. And people are so willing to give up their power. I have the saying, you'll hear it at the end of my podcast, never give up your power in your health, your wealth, or your time. And if you give up your power in those three areas, any one of them, it's going to destroy your life because then you can just blame everybody else, but they're not going to save you. The troops aren't coming. I really love that. I'm going to steal it, but I really love it.
Yeah. What? I was... I hope I'm not the only one who's ever done this. You know, when you're out driving and you get lost in your thoughts, maybe you're listening to a brilliant Wealth Architect podcast episode or whatever. You just,
maybe
you kind of get lost in your thoughts and you go right past your exit.
Yeah.
Okay. You ever done this?
Yeah.
I hope I'm not the only one. I kid you not, Mark, I was traveling to see a client in Southern Utah. Okay. I live in the state of Utah. And I traveled several hours to get to the southern end of the state to go see this client, do a little program for their organization. I knew I had missed my exit when I saw the big, colorful sign, Arizona welcomes you.
Yep.
And I'm like, crap, Arizona? This isn't what I had in mind. I love Arizona. It's not what I had in mind. Right? And how often in life are we doing that? We're looking around saying, crap, this isn't where I wanted to be. Not what I had in mind. And then I look down. Guess whose hands I see on my steering wheel?
I don't know. You got somebody else driving? Maybe you got a Tesla. And you don't have to see that. Yeah.
Yeah. So here I am. I'm looking at my own hands. And I have this realization. Oh, I'm here because I drove here.
Yeah.
See, the tendency in a victim mindset is I got to blame someone, something, the economy, the government, whatever it is. But the bad news is also the good news. Okay. You have to swallow hard a little bit to do what you just suggested, Mark, to take 100% responsibility. And in my book, I break that into two words, responsibility. Yeah. It's nice. Your ability to respond, because the bad news is also the good news. If my hands are still, what can I do next?
Yeah. Let's break down that bad news, because I know a lot of times that we positive people want to just focus on the good news, but there is some good news in that bankruptcy. And this is the Wealth Architect podcast. And I'm sure there's at least one lesson that you learned from going through that. I'm sorry you went through that. But I know you are the kind of guy that comes out on the other side of it going, you know, my life is better for it. So what can we take away from what you learned by going through that? And that's a tough thing to admit that you suck as an investor or as a money manager. And it's not your fault. You weren't trained well. Now, it's not your fault in life that you're not trained. You just need to go get the training, which I'm sure you've done. Tell us some lessons.
I don't look at it as a loss.
Yeah. Now. Yeah.
I look at it as tuition paid.
Bingo. Yeah.
And if you're going to pay that kind of tuition, and it was a hefty tuition,
yeah,
I better darn well take home the lessons.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of lessons I learned financially. Okay. And I'm not a financial expert. Okay. But what I learned that was the most powerful came from a realization. And if you can just come with me to the bankruptcy court, okay, how would you feel? I'm there with my wife, who I promised to take care of.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm just humiliated by my life circumstances. The judge gives the ruling. We leave the bankruptcy court. I walk outside. And the first thing I noticed was that everything was in color.
Okay.
Which somehow surprised me. I'm not sure what I was expecting, Mark. Is everything going to be like an old 20s movie, black and white, people, you know, shrouded in dark clothing? No. Color. Breeze is blowing. Kids are playing in the playground. Birds singing in the trees. And somehow that surprised me, because our circumstances are neutral.
Hmm.
And go with me on this for just a minute, because this fits into the model that I've developed around positivity. You hear all the time, just think positive, which is kind of annoying because it's this trite, fluffy, motivational speaker thing that you hear. And I think it's important, as a professional psychologist, it's important for me to share with people what it actually means.
Yeah.
And this is part of what my bankruptcy taught me, which has been so important to me in the world of finance. But it's not just finance. It's mental health. It's relationships.
Absolutely.
Everything that's controlled by your brain, which is the main control center of everything you're doing. OK, Okay, so when I say circumstances are neutral, I mean it is what it is. Also an annoying thing to hear, depending on who's saying it and why.
Right.
But go with this for just a minute. And I put this into my model. I'm showing you a visual model here, Mark, that in an audio podcast is kind of hard to track. So I'm going to give everybody a visual of this, okay?
Yeah.
In fact, if you just go to drpauljenkins.com, that's my name, spelled with a dr, drpauljenkins.com, and then do /wealth. That's short for Wealth Architect Podcast. What I'm giving you is a little mini book that describes this whole model, and you'll get the visual that I'm referring to. That's totally free. Just go grab that, okay, so that you have a visual to connect this to.
Let me just say it again real quick so everybody that's driving and listening can memorize it and go right now to the website. It's Dr. Paul. Huh? What's that?
Pull over for a minute and get it. Be safe.
DrPaulJenkins.com. You know, nobody's going to pull over. They're going to text. They're going to go to the website. Yeah. DrPaulJenkins.com/wealth, WEALTH. So thank you for that, offering that free book. And you can put whatever you want on that page, because when the listeners go there, I know you're going to give them a free book and maybe some other goodies, who knows. But tell us about this model that you have in front of you. And I got a couple questions for you.
Okay. So let's go back to where I left it.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. Yes.
Now, all that means for our conversation here today is the way things are right now without changing anything. It's where you are. It's what you have. It's who you're with. It's the way things are. Okay. When I say circumstances are neutral, I don't mean that they are easy or painless. Because sometimes your circumstances are extremely difficult and painful. But what I do mean is it could always be better.
Yeah.
And it could always be worse. So as I stepped out of that bankruptcy court and I saw that everything was in color, somehow that clicked something in my brain that said it could be lots worse than this.
Yes.
And I didn't even consciously connect with that idea. But if you can just wrap your head around that for a minute. I was speaking at a conference in Orlando. You and I met in Orlando.
We did.
Mark, this was several years ago. I was speaking in Orlando for a youth leadership conference. And as I was waiting to go on stage, I got a text message. I was right on the front row at the time, and you don't pull out your phone and scroll through texts. It's not cool, all right? But I got a notification on my Fitbit. I looked down, and you know the little truncated version you get? It tells you who it's from. And
yep.
I looked down, it's from my sister. And all I read was, I wanted you to know that Talon had an accident last night.
Oh, geez. Wow.
He was up on the mountain in his first responder training and slipped and fell off a 30-foot ...
Oh, my God.
Okay, now you know what ... means.
You better check out the rest.
Yeah. So I slip out of the room and pull up my phone. But all the way, I am worried about what's going on. My dad lost his father to an accident when he was 5. Mm-hmm. Good friend of mine crashed a small plane in Utah Lake here near my office, leaving his wife and family without a husband and father. Okay, now I'm getting this text from my sister.
Yep.
So I slip out into the hall. I pull up my phone because I've got a phone call to make. But first, I'm going to check the text, right? I got to get the rest of the message. So pick up where we left off. Slipped and fell off a 30-foot waterfall and broke both of his ankles and injured his knee. They could use your prayers. Oh, Ken, how did you feel when I told you the rest of the story?
Yeah. I mean, I was feeling the pain of breaking both of my ankles.
Yeah.
But I was also feeling that something much worse could have happened, right?
Did you feel some relief?
Yeah, a bit of relief, yeah.
I felt some.
Sure.
I call my niece. I'm like, yeah, sweetie, I heard what happened. And she's like, thanks for calling, Uncle Paul. We're just feeling so grateful. Okay, now why? it could be so much worse. Go back to the model.
Yeah.
One of the processes that's going on in your brain is evaluation. I put that into the model. It means judgment. And you can't turn it off. It's just like gravity. You ever get up in the morning and think, oh, I wonder if gravity's on? It tends to be. Okay. And judgment or evaluation is something that is constantly happening in your mind. I want you to see this, that you are constantly judging yourself.
Right.
Your relationship. Your finances. Your portfolio. You're judging the weather. You judge the government. You judge the economy. You judge the pandemic. You're judging me.
Now, why do we do that, you think?
Because we can't turn it off. Your brain has to do this. So your brain has two primary responsibilities: to keep you safe and to prove you right.
Oh, man. Now you're speaking my language.
And both of them get us into trouble. Okay.
That's right.
But it's what your brain's designed to do.
Yep.
So you're constantly evaluating to keep you safe.
Yeah.
And that evaluation requires or implies comparison with some standard. Okay. So you have to compare it to something. Now let's go back to the story that I shared with you. It is what it is. And what it is two compound fractures, both ankles. Got it?
Yep.
It is what it is. Now, can you imagine anything better than that?
Yes.
That's not hard.
Lots of things. Yeah.
Right. I was doing a police conference recently and somebody in the audience, they're like, one broken ankle.
Okay.
Yeah. Arguably that would be better.
Yeah.
But you can also imagine no broken ankles.
Or winning the lottery.
How about no injury? How about winning the lottery? How about everything went just like I planned it to? How about no injuries at all? Right. I mean, you can imagine that. That's not reality, but you can imagine it. Now, when you take two broken ankles and you evaluate it or compare it next to no injuries, then how do you feel about two broken ankles?
Yeah.
It sucks. Okay. Now, you're probably getting ahead of me because can you imagine anything worse than two broken ankles?
Yep.
And don't say three. That's saying cough.
Right. I'm not allowed to say three. Okay. That would be my wise ass response.
But you can, and I helped you with this, Mark, because I told you about my dad losing his father, about my friend who crashed his plane. You can imagine the death of that young father, my nephew, on Timpanogos that day.
Yes.
On the mountain. When you take two broken ankles and you compare it to instant death or paralysis or something worse, then how do you feel about two broken ankles?
Yeah. Yeah.
Notice it's still painful because what it is could be very painful. But when you compare what you've got to something better, oops, this way, you're going to feel worse about what you've got.
So we're basically comparison creatures, right? We take a standard that we either create or has been created for us. And now we compare ourselves to that standard. We compare a circumstance or a situation to that standard. Let's relate it to the financial business. And that is, you know, the market is doing 9% a year for the last 100 years, and you did 20.
Mm-hmm.
Could it be worse? Could it be better? You did minus 20. Could it be worse? Could it be better? It all depends, right?
Always.
And then that goes into that thinking. So, you know, I'd like to ask you and unpack a couple more things, but first I want to take a quick break and give it up for our sponsor, which is me in this case. So we'll be right back. Hey, it's Mark Yeager here to tell you about our cash flow machine trading program that's designed to teach you how to make safe, reliable income. Now we shoot for 2-4% a month of income and growth in your portfolio. And we have courses to teach you how to do this yourself or inside a mastermind community. And the best part of that is it only takes about 20 minutes a week to implement. Now, while 2-4% a month doesn't sound like much, I show you exactly how we took my IRA from $111,000 to over $500,000 in just 19 months without huge risk. I'm not telling you this to brag, just to show you that you could do this too. So to learn more about this program, go to cashflowmachine.io. That's cashflowmachine.io, and you can learn more. All right, we are back with Durr Paul Jenkins, and listen, he through this interesting story, which we kind of lived through because he told it so well, we experienced our own expectations out of that story, and some really great lessons came, just some epiphanies came to me from just listening to that story. But the big one for investors is what the brain does, right? It's there to protect us, keep us safe. And the other one is it doesn't want to let us be wrong. It doesn't want to admit that we're wrong, right? So let's expound on that, because that is a big deal in investments. Let me lay out the story real quick about what happens to most investors, Dr. Paul. And that is, let's say a stock is at $100 and it's Tesla or it's Apple or it's some really great story. And you're like, you know, you saw it on Cramer, or you read it in the Wall Street Journal and your Money Magazine, you're like, I got to buy some of that. And so you go out without doing any other research other than the fact that this bald guy on TV told you that it was a great stock. And so you bought it. And now you bought it at 100. Now, your expectations are what? You want it to go higher, right? Buy low, sell high. That's what we're all trained to do. Now, what happens? Well, two things could happen. It could go higher. And one thing that happens is it goes higher and it goes up to 110. And you're like, woo, I just made 10%. And you bail, because you have this programming that says you can't go broke taking a profit, which is a fallacy, by the way. And then you have another one that could happen, and that's the stock goes from 100 to 90. You go down 10%. Now, what happens most of the time when people go, it goes down to 90? Well, a lot of people say, you know what? I liked it at 100. Boy, I'm falling in love with it at 90. The manager's gone insane. They're giving me a 10% off sale. I'm buying more. So they average down. Now they got their average cost 95. And then what happens? A lot of times it goes down to 80 and they're like, oh, now it's down to 80 and I'm in it at 95. Maybe they buy a little bit more. Maybe they don't have the money to buy more. And what happens is they end up holding it from 80 to 70 to 60 to 50. And then they just go, well, it's a great company. It'll come back. This is what every investor that I've ever met in my life, including me, says. I'm going to buy more because it's on sale. And then eventually it gets so low that they go, well, it's a good company. They make great cars. They make great phones. They're not going to stop selling phones. They have great internet services, social media. It'll come back. Yeah. And then they sit there. They forget about it. They don't admit they're wrong. So let's unpack that a little, because this is such a common thing on Wall Street, and it's programming, right?
Yeah.
It's also programming in light of psychology. Let's talk about what happens in the brain during those processes.
You just used a word, programming.
Yeah.
I think deserves just a little bit of attention.
Okay. Because
programming, it's like English. Mark, you and I were programmed to speak English.
Yep.
By people who didn't give us a choice.
That's true.
Right? Now, there are other languages. And I don't know if you speak any other languages. I'm fluent in Finnish.
Wow.
Could you speak Finnish?
Nope. I mean, I could.
Okay. Right, yes. Now. Thank you for correcting that, because yes, you could. And you would have to choose it first, right? But it's more than a choice, obviously. It's going to require some reprogramming, and your brain naturally wants to default back to whatever it's already been programmed with. Okay. So I use language acquisition as an example of that, but playing a musical instrument, any advanced skill set, you can see it's a choice and it requires some reprogramming of the neural pathways of your own brain.
Yes.
To actually become fluent. So our programming is going to kick in unless we make an intentional effort to steer it in another direction. So,
which is reprogramming, isn't it?
Which is the reprogramming. And that takes a choice, and you got to put in the reps. It's going to take some practice.
Yeah.
So it's even going back to positivity. I'm a black belt in positivity. Guess what I practice every single day?
Yeah.
And if people say, well, why does it come so easy to you? Why is it so easy for me to slip into negativity? And I'm like, put in the reps.
Yeah.
You got to do some practice to condition your brain. So going back to your example, Mark, our programming kicks in and tells us that things are a certain way. Remember, your brain is there to keep you safe, which has a whole lot to do with avoiding risks or potential dangers, right?
Right.
And to prove you right, which means whatever you already think, your brain is going to work to support or provide evidence for. It's called confirmation bias. You're probably familiar with that term. Confirmation bias is where your brain goes out there and looks for and finds and sometimes even creates evidence support what you already believe.
Yeah. And so I'd love to keep going down this path, because there's one piece of programming from Wall Street, and a lot of Wall Street programming is not in your favor because it's in their favor. And there's two sides to every coin. And so they say you can't go broke taking a profit. But I will tell you that almost every adage on Wall Street has another side that probably will benefit you, almost every adage. But one of those is you can't go broke taking a profit. But imagine selling Amazon when Amazon was at $10 and it went to $20. And you got to go to the cocktail party and tell all your friends that you doubled your money. You basically were giving yourself confirmation bias that you're a great investor. You doubled your money, right? You didn't lose money. You have a win. Check off the win. What happens, though, is Amazon went from 10 to 20 to 40 to 80 to 160, and it went up to $3,800 before it split last month, 20 for one. And so while you might think you were a winner in that case, and you were, you doubled your money. That's better than most people do. But you can't go broke taking a profit was a piece of programming that didn't serve you. Because if you had said stocks that go to their highs go higher, that would have been a different piece of programming, a reprogramming, and it would have allowed you the certainty and the confidence to be able to stay in that stock as it kept climbing higher and higher and higher. And some people didn't sell it and they're multimillionaires if they had enough, right? Some people sold it and they're still winners because they doubled their money. I did this on Tesla. Right? I double my money from 35 to 70, or it was actually 24 to 36, and then from 35 to 70 later. And I felt like the big winner. And then Tesla ran to $1,100. Okay. Yeah. Now I'm still in Tesla. I'm a huge investor in Tesla now, but I missed a lot of that run because I was doing that confirmation bias. And so what we can learn from that is the brain wanted to take me out of it. And it did take me out of it in Tesla. And it wants to take us out of it when we doubled our money. Oh my God, I don't want to go to the cocktail party and say, yeah, I had the opportunity to buy Tesla, to sell Tesla at 20 or whatever that Amazon, I guess I was using Amazon. And I doubled my money, but I didn't do it. And it went back down to 10. And so I broke even or I lost money on it. Like, we don't want to do it. So we have that fear. It's almost the exact opposite of what we should be feeling, right, in the market. And it's a beautiful thing that you say what the brain does, because I see like the opposite rules being programmed, you know, protect yourself and make sure that you're right. And those two things are the biggest killers in the market. It's interesting.
You're also leading us into the other process that's going on in your brain. Because so we talked about evaluation.
Yeah.
And the essential question there is, how am I doing? And the answer to that depends on who or what you compare yourself to.
Sure.
Okay. Because even going through a bankruptcy, how was I doing financially at that point? Well, at one point, Mark, I thought I've lost a third of $1 million.
Yeah.
Which is where I was at that particular point. And then I thought, wait a minute. I had my hands on a third of $1 million.
How about that? See, total reframe.
What the heck? Right? That's all in the evaluation part, but you're leading us right into another one. When you mentioned fear, okay, fear is the number one barrier to success and happiness and prosperity. The feeling of fear, where does it come from? It doesn't come from our circumstances. It doesn't come from what Amazon's doing or Tesla. Or those people that I invested with. It comes from our thoughts.
Our limbic brain, or not even our thoughts.
But it's a different process, okay? So evaluation, we've already talked about. Let's go to the other one, creation.
Yes.
Your brain is constantly creating what is to be. This is so important because what is to be doesn't exist yet. We haven't created it yet. And so all we can do for starters is to imagine it. And notice that everything in your world has to be imagined first before it's actually physically created. You have to actually create it mentally or psychologically or spiritually first.
Yeah.
So connect with the feelings here for a minute. And you don't know. This is why investing is such a fun game, right?
Can be.
How are you doing next week, next month, next year?
You don't know.
You don't know. But you have an imagination. And we already know it's a really great imagination. So when you imagine that what's coming is even worse than what you've already got, yeah. How do you feel?
Yeah, that's right.
That's the fear. Okay?
Brings you closed and scared and not wanting to take a chance.
Anxiety. Remember, your brain's job is to keep you safe.
Yep.
And if you imagine that's not going to happen, you go into what we call anxiety. There's a fight or flight response. It's a natural response that your body and your brain has. And you will shut down, like you were saying. You're going to fold up into fetal position somewhere. Okay? Anxiety. That's 30 years of clinical experience in a nutshell.
Sure.
Right there. Now, go the other direction. When you imagine or predict or reasonably expect that what's coming is even better than what you've already got, how do you feel?
Yeah, feel fantastic, empowered, positive, ready to go, moving forward, all those things that come to mind.
Even though the outcome has not yet arrived, the feelings happen now.
So what's the opposite of anxiety? Is it hope in this case?
I would label it hope.
Hope.
Yes. Hope that positive sense that what's coming is good. And that you can anticipate feeling joy. In my book, I talk about the feeling. It's like capital T, capital F. Okay. The feeling is what we're all after.
Yeah.
What do we want? See, you don't want money. What is the feeling that you have when you anticipate that you will have money?
Right. And it's the transformation for what the money can do for you, right? Yeah. If you could step in. So I always, in the morning, I envision my day and I envision my life, right? I create my ideal days and I envision, and then I try to step into those days, right? They're not always perfect days, but they are part of this beautiful book that I've been writing about my life, which is chapter upon chapter upon chapter. And every opportunity to build a day is part of those chapters. Absolutely. And so you do the best you can with those days that you get laid out, but you have to imagine how good it's going to be. You don't want to wake up and go, boy, my day's going to really, I mean, I know these people, my day's going to really suck, right?
Which you can imagine it. Prove you right about that.
Well, that's right. You keep saying that it's going to prove it. It's like, and I know you've probably heard this question before, but there was this movie that came out, I don't know, about 20 years ago called The Secret.
Yeah.
And The Secret was a fantastic movie. And I highly recommend everybody watch it or read the book, The Secret. It's got a lot of really great people in it that I follow. And the bottom line of this book was wake up or envision, you know, visualize your day, write down the things that you want, set goals, all really noble things. What they missed in The Secret, and they realized later when they came out with the opposite, not the opposite, but the addendum to it or the next one, is you got to put some freaking action behind it, right? It's not just look, you can't just look at your garden and go, there's no weeds, and expect there not to be weeds. You got to go out and pull the weeds.
Picture
the flowers will grow.
Your mind. And then move your hands to rearrange the elements to look like that.
That's right. That's it.
That's called work.
You got to put the work in.
And you know what? Work. I mean, we talk about work. It's actually a physical law. It's a principle. Matter cannot be created or destroyed. It only changes form. And the process by which it changes form is defined as work. And so we do work. And we've got a lot of cultural ways we understand that. But we need to understand this is a law of physics. And you can match the picture so you can see that the imagination of what you are creating is important. Remember, your brain is there to keep you safe and prove you right. And as soon as you put a strong enough image in your brain, it wants to prove you right about that. This day is going to suck. And your brain is like, aye, aye, Captain. We can make that happen. I can match that image.
Yep.
If you tell your brain, I am successful and happy and prosperous. It's like, aye, aye, Captain.
Yep.
Let's see if we can get working on that. It's like the marching orders for your brain. And either you drive your thoughts or your thoughts will drive you.
Absolutely right. I just love the way you lay this stuff out. I'm certified in neuro-linguistic programming. I'm sure you've heard of it, NLP. Yeah. And I use it every day in my investing, because NLP is not really programming. It's the way you speak to yourself and the way you envision things in your life. And what I learned in NLP, and I know this is true, is that if you can imagine you have two brains, your unconscious brain and your conscious brain. Your conscious brain is like the captain, right? It's like the brain that says, okay, guys, here's what we're going to do. But the unconscious brain is like all the people that work on the ship. And so they go, well, the captain says we got to go do this. So let's go do this, right? But the unconscious brain is 95% of what happens in your life, right? Your captain makes the direction. It's only about 5% of it. That's like the iceberg sticking up above the water. That's the part you see. But the 95% of the iceberg, which is the part that sank the Titanic, right? The part you don't see is the one doing all the work to mix all these metaphors together, right? And so you've got to make a conscious direction, which is the message that you're saying. Make a conscious direction to be positive. Make a conscious direction to use your imagination to create your future. Set it in place, set it on a path, and then let your unconscious mind go to work in getting it for you. But you got to take some action to do it, not just on the vision, but on the actual components that make that work. So if I could summarize, because I could talk to you probably for hours, but I don't know if everybody's drive is as long as we're going to be talking here. So let me wrap up a couple of things, and then maybe I'll ask you to give us a couple of nuggets to leave us and maybe put something in action, and I'll send you on your way. But I'm just going to summarize a bit. I love the message that you said, change. You don't have to change a thing. You just have to change a think. That is so good, because that gives us the power, the choice. And I believe so much power in power and choice. And the troops aren't coming. Another message that we have to take that control. We have to be the ones to do it. Whether it's in our health, our wealth, our relationships, our time, our money, whatever it is, the troops aren't coming to save us. Pretty soon you're going to be old. And that's coming. We know that's coming. Make sure you enjoy your life now. Don't program your life to be 65 and that's when you retire. Maybe you can move it to 55. You just have to make that choice. Circumstances are neutral. It is what it is, everybody. We've got to know that circumstances are neutral and that we can look at them in many different ways. And we can use relativity to say they're better than we thought. They're worse than we thought. They're the same as what we thought. But we get to interpret them in our way. And then finally, the way the brain works doesn't want us to be wrong, but it wants to protect us. And in investing, that's such a critical component. So getting away from the victim mindset is the last thing that I will say. I love that. We have to be the captains of our own ship, and we can't be the victims of what we hit. We have to be the captains and not hit those things. So maybe you can leave us with one or two things and then tell us how we can get a hold of you, and then we'll say goodbye. Unfortunately.
I loved your summary, Mark. Wow. We covered all of that.
We did.
That is so cool. And the great thing about a podcast, folks, is that you can go back and listen to it again.
Yeah.
And again, because the repetition is important. I want to reiterate that fact, because we are not just choosing to think differently. We are programming and reprogramming our brain, which wants to keep us safe, and that includes keeping things efficient. So think of your brain as basically lazy and loyal, all right? It is loyal, it wants to prove you right, but it's kind of lazy. It doesn't want to do extra work if it's already programmed. And your programming is what's going to be easiest for your brain. Just realize that your brain's doing exactly what it's supposed to do, and then intentionally build in opportunities to reprogram that brain. I'm even going to give you just a 5-day challenge. Okay.
Cool. Let's do it.
It's two parts to this, and it has to do with the two elements that I talked about, evaluation and creation.
Okay.
On the evaluation side, the exercise is gratitude. You make a gratitude list. I would suggest 25 items a day for 5 days. Make a list. Now, people have done gratitude lists before. Here's what's going to power it up. All right. We're giving our brain different instructions. On your list of 25, don't repeat anything on tomorrow's list that was on today's list. Okay.
Oh, no.
It's a whole new list tomorrow. Oh, does that seem like a lot? Because I used to assign 100 a day.
Good for you. Well, I know it might seem like a lot to a lot of people, but to
me, it could always be better. See, your brain can't turn this off.
Nope.
All right. So you're going to do 25 items a day, at least half. That's 13. If you're doing the math, is about the hard stuff. It's about something that is painful, difficult, frustrating, annoying, kicking your butt. You pick. And if you don't have something, we can arrange to get you something. But notice the painful things and you find something that you're grateful for about that. Or from that, or because of that. It might be a relationship. It might be something that you've learned. Ask your brain to go there. And I'm not saying you have to be grateful for the thing. I'm saying open it up, look inside of it, see what's in there that you truly are grateful for. So I look at my bankruptcy. Am I grateful for the bankruptcy? I'm not saying you have to go there. I'm saying open it up. What did you find in there?
Right.
I found a huge, huge opportunity to learn. I found empathy. I used to think people who went through bankruptcies were flakes or dishonest. I have a lot more empathy now. Now, am I grateful for the empathy and for the knowledge? Yes.
Yes.
Put it on your list. Got it?
Got it.
Okay. Now, the other 12 things each day can be freebies. The things that are easy to be grateful for, puppies and rainbows and indoor plumbing, whatever. Okay. 12 freebies, 13 from the hard list. Here's the other hack. And this is for the creation mode. Think about, just look at your clock right now. How sure are you that 8 o'clock is coming?
Pretty darn sure.
Pretty darn. Okay. How sure are you that you'll be around for 8 o'clock?
Pretty darn sure.
Almost as.
Yeah, almost as. Awesome.
Okay. And you've made it to every 8 o'clock so far your whole life. So
every single one of them.
Record. I call this one BB-8. Just like the little droid on Star Wars, okay? BB-8. You think of some way that you could make your life better by 8. And look at the contrast, Mark. What if I were asking you to somehow make your life worse by 8 o'clock? Could you do that? Yeah, wouldn't even be hard. All right, we're giving our mind marching instructions. Remember, it's just waiting for us. Aye, aye, Captain. Better by 8. What could you do in your finances to make it a little better by a little or a lot? It's up to you. You're the creator.
Better is better.
Better is better, right. What could you do to improve your key relationships? What could you do to improve your health? And I'm not talking next week, next month, next year. I'm talking 8 o'clock. Now, what do you notice your brain doing?
Looking for answers, right? You ask a question, your brain, it wants to give you an answer. Yes.
Because it's loyal to you and it wants to prove you right and it wants to keep you safe. So you're simply giving your brain something to work on.
Yep.
Now go do something to make it better by 8. If you'll do this for the same 5 days that you're doing the gratitude list, you get to have 10 upgrades.
Nice.
How cool is that?
That's really awesome. That's really
awesome.
And
notice how that feels to think about that. So these are very practical ways you can apply what we've been talking about here today.
That's great. All right, everybody. So have some gratitude, 25 items a day. It's not that hard to do. Pull out a gratitude journal, a piece of paper, something. So you write it down and make it in part of your cellular being, right? If you don't write it down, you just think these things. You don't make a record of it. Make a record of it. Half of them have to be hard stuff. Durr's half is 13. You can go with 13 and 12 easy ones, little freebies. And then BB-8, what can you do today to be better by 8? Do this 5 days in a row. So,
That's the first one.
Yeah.
The first thing you can do to be better by 8, go grab that mini book that I
brought.
There
promised. You go.
Okay. DrPaulJenkins.com/wealth.
I love it.
If you get a free copy of this mini book, that would improve your life by 8. Because you're taking intentional steps toward upgrading your life, your mentality, your thoughts.
I love it. Well, listen, I want to thank you for your knowledge and your wisdom. You, um, you poured out a lot of stuff today, a lot of your heart actually, and I felt it. And I want to thank you for that. And I on behalf of my listeners and viewers, I want to thank you on that.
You're welcome.
And you also went to school for 21 grades and you been doing 30 years of clinical psychology, but you're not your typical clinical psychologist that I've met. You are one step ahead. There's something wrong with you. You have a pathological positivity.
I'm weird.
And I think that's a great problem to have. And I think we need to work on that. But I want to thank you for your time and your wisdom and for being here today.
You're welcome. So, thank you, Mark.
Thank you. I want to leave everybody with this final thought. I leave it every time. It's never give up your power and your health, your wealth, or your time. See you next time on the next edition of the Wealth Architect Podcast. Have a good day, everybody.
You've been listening to the Wealth Architect Podcast with Mark Yeagy. Follow us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Like and subscribe on YouTube. Share and tell your friends. See you soon.